we obsess over the details, and it's like you want to get a song to be absolutely perfect. And I think what's really fun about this feature is, and we're seeing it like TikTok and all these things, like, you know, fans are coming in without the artist's approval, speeding up and speeding down a song or doing whatever they want to it, right? They just do whatever they want, and it's perfect, and it's great because it actually sometimes brings new life into a piece of music. And so for us, it's like this small evolution to say, that's great and you can do that, but there's also now a business model that can help ensure the artist gets paid and has some way to participate in that future.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music, and you can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. All right, excited to be here today with my new friend, Inder Fole. Inder is an award-winning CEO slash co-founder of Pixel Links and Core Protocol. He's raised and generated over $40 million, recently selling his company to Animoca Brands. He's a visionary at the intersection of music, gaming, and blockchain. He's led sellout projects with brands like Black Mirror, Beatport, and Pioneer DJ. And he says that over a decade of experience working with companies you might have heard of, like Disney, and he's continuing to shape the future of the metaverse. So, man, I'm really excited to have you on the podcast today to talk about, you know, what does it look like to be a modern musician, specifically in the realm that we're entering with AI, music, blockchain, gaming, where that all kind of intersects. So, Inder, thank you for taking the time to be on the podcast today.
Great to be here, Michael. I've been looking forward to this and, yeah, a big fan of everything you guys do. And, yeah, looking forward to sharing some insights and hopefully some useful tips and more.
Heck yeah. Let's go. So, Inder, maybe for anyone that this is their first time meeting or connecting with you, could you share a little bit of an introduction to yourself and how you found yourself in the intersection of working with companies like Disney and Black Mirror and kind of, you know, talking about blockchain and music and gaming?
Yeah, it's a long journey, I guess, in some sense. I'll try to keep it concise. You know, I've always been a fan of music and culture, I guess, since from a young age. I was born in Africa. In Nairobi, moved to London when I was about 10. And, you know, very early on, I got into music and creative culture more than anything. I kind of just loved, you know, forms of expression. I think I set up my first business when I was 16. I was DJing, which is a common path, I think, for a lot of people, just DJing at parties and for friends, and kind of always had this entrepreneurial bug. My family are entrepreneurs. My dad ran his own business. His dad ran his own business. So I think it was always like a rite of passage that at some stage I would kind of be thinking about that. But, you know, early years, I was just very much kind of into music, into kind of creative culture. I was skateboarding. And I remember, I think I was in university and I was studying economics. And I was like, this is really not for me. I was like, this is not that exciting. It's not really what I'm into, although it's interesting. And I started to kind of go down this journey of thinking about startup culture and what I would really want to build. And, you know, I was around that age of like early 20s. I was like videoing, doing like videography. I was doing a lot of just very experimental things. And I remember I was kind of thinking about brands. And this is like in my early 20s, maybe 28 years old. I was thinking about brands and how they would come into places like skate parks where I would be active and, you know, try and make themselves present and, you know, advertise their products to my generation and people that I was connected to. And I was like, there's just something that doesn't feel right. There's like this disconnect between these companies and how they're trying to speak to like younger audiences. And so that was one of the first starting points of my first like proper business, which was an agency connecting brands to youth culture. And that was sort of the early stages. You know, I didn't really know where exactly it was going to go. And I used to message people on LinkedIn, just like cold message, like, hey, you know, this is this project I'm working on. And one of my first clients was Lacoste. You know, after a few months of just messaging people, I was suddenly had this client, which paid me more in like one brief than I was getting paid in the whole year of like having a, you know, a different job. So I was like, okay, maybe there's something in this. And, you know, through that journey, I was basically just like working with brands, you know, started to connect with a lot of big global organizations and help them think about not only how could they connect with youth culture, but also how could they use technology to transform the way they market to younger audiences, and really got excited about innovation. And so this is a point in my life where I'm I'm making music, I'm skateboarding, I'm DJing, and I'm also like trying to figure out my career where I'm working with these organizations. And so I was always in like this epic, like intersection in many ways, right, of culture and technology. And so, yeah, but I would say that was some of the early stages. When I was around 23, 24, I won an award called the International Music Summit Visionaries Award, where in order to apply, you had to basically present a vision for the future of the music industry. And this was about 10 years ago. And I basically shared some ideas around how things like blockchain and gaming could present these new ways for people to not only monetize, but also grow their career, manage their intellectual property and have transparency and more. So, you know, it's again, just very early stages of kind of exploring things in the world and just kind of trying things out. And anyway, so I ran this agency for many years, got more into the innovation side of things. And, you know, I discovered blockchain probably like 10 years ago. There was an artist called Imogen Heap who she was doing some very early work in the space and showing how this technology could not only help her monetize more effectively, but also have transparency over her intellectual property. And it just completely inspired me. It was, to me, such a clear, like, solution for a problem that existed. But I didn't really think much of it. I just kind of continued studying the space. It was still very early. And what happened was COVID hit maybe a few years later. And I saw the whole music industry kind of collapse in many ways. And I was thinking about what my next step would be, like, where would I want to go, you know, in the future? And it was like this connection of things that I was passionate about, you know, blockchain, gaming and interactivity, and, you know, working with creators, working with musicians and brands. And so that was really sort of the long winded journey of it, you know, from, I guess, from the skate parks into making music into, ultimately, you know, working with big brands and trying to help them solve their problems. I got to see so many different parts of culture, from the technology to the corporates to the creators. And for me, it was like, how do I fuse these pieces together, which ultimately led me to Pixelinks, which is what we're building today, which is an interactive ecosystem focused on bringing intellectual property on the blockchain and then really unlocking new forms of you know, revenue and monetization, which we'll get into. But yeah, that's the long and short of it, I guess, is, you know, how I sort of view that journey.
Oh man, that's so cool. What you say? That you only meant well. Imogen Heap, yeah. Sorry, as soon as you said Imogen Heap, like that song just like started playing. So cool. So, I mean, the first thing that comes up is, you know, you mentioned that you won an award for kind of casting a vision for the music industry and where things are headed as it relates to blockchain, gaming. And so we're the next question that comes up for me is sort of like, what were the core principles of that, that vision that you described? And I'm also curious to hear your perspective as this relates to the current state, you know, the music industry and some of the common challenges and the problems. Like, maybe you could share a little bit about your diagnosis of kind of like what are the biggest issues right now, and then cast that vision towards what you're building.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously there's so many challenges to solve, but the core idea was called hobby to pro. And my first perspective was the more people we get into the craft of making music, the better it's going to be for the music industry. And, you know, the more people who appreciate music as a hobby, you know, whether it's just DJing or making music, I was like, I really think this is going to unlock a really amazing future. If we have more people who make music, they will appreciate it more and they'll support the industry. I think there was a very clear, for me, like a really clear, like, relationship between the two. So that was like one of the first high level ideas. And it was this vision, like, you know, if you can just start off with a hobby, like it can turn into like a profession. That's great. It doesn't need to, but that the job of getting more people into the music industry to just make music as a hobby is a really important thing that I really believed in. And then beyond that, there was a number of other things that I was interested in. So, you know, this was at a point in time, which is still like now, artists don't really have much transparency around their music. And even more importantly, the intellectual property behind music, the way it's managed, is really complex. You know, there's a song could have dozens of songwriters, labels, publishers involved, producers involved. And that creates so much fragmentation that makes it really difficult for music to really grow. And I believe that blockchain could be this amazing solution for that. It could be this technology that would allow us to think about our intellectual property in a more controlled way, and to then enable things like partnerships and collaborations and licensing and new forms of distribution, as well as giving artists transparency. To me, that was really important. So it was like, the one big problem we have is that the music rights landscape is incredibly complex, and the blockchain infrastructure could be an amazing solution, not only to help untangle that, but also give artists transparency in a more interesting way to potentially monetize and connect with their fans. Some of the other principles included interactivity. I was, you know, even then thinking a lot about gaming and kind of the idea that new mediums of consumption, like games and, you know, gamified experiences as a whole, could, again, not only get more people into the craft of making music, but it could also be this incredible new revenue stream. It could be this new canvas in many ways for artists to think about their craft, not only just releasing songs, but releasing audio visual experiences that maybe 10 years ago were out of their reach because the technology wasn't really there and it's expensive. But if we invested into these features, we could give artists a much broader canvas to express their visions. And, you know, an artist could be more than just a songwriter or a musician, but could actually have multimedia, you know, experiences that are central to the way they present their vision. So those were some of the main things, I think. You know, hobby to pro, let's get more people into the beautiful craft of making music. That will help them appreciate it more, which should have a knock-on effect on the industry. Blockchain infrastructure is really important to protect rights and to create new ways for us to think about intellectual property. And then gamification could be this amazing new, you know, set of tools and mediums for us to release music through. That would be really cool. I think I also spoke about sustainability and a few other things that were also very pressing and still are today. But, you know, those were the ones that really stuck with me as a whole, you know, up until now, and kind of directly relate to a lot of the things that I'm doing today.
Very cool.
What was amazing as well, just to touch on it, when I won that program, which is why I think these things are so important, like, I was, you know, relatively unknown in the music industry. You know, I didn't have a name for myself. I was like 24. This put me on a platform, but also connected me to my business partners today. Ben, for example, who was the founder of this conference, became a mentor of mine. And over many years, we shared ideas and now end up running a business together. He manages Richie Horton, who's an amazing DJ and producer. Through that, I got connected with Deadmau5 and Dean Wilson, who's Deadmau5's manager. So it was an amazing foundation, I think, for me, not only kind of being able to present a vision, but also, you know, to get connected with a lot of the, you know, key people really moving the space forward. And, you know, those basically helped mentor and push my career into where it is today.
Super cool. Yeah. I mean, when did you write that the article, or when did you submit for that contest?
It's a video. You can find it if you type in the full visionaries, Mixmag, I believe. Let me see. It's like maybe more than 10 years ago. Let's see.
Wow.
Mixmag. Let's see. When is it called? 2016. Okay. So 9 years ago, I guess.
Yeah. That's pretty prescient to be, you know, able to forecast that ahead of time. And some of those ideas I feel like are maybe more on the surface now. But just to recap, make sure I'm hearing you correctly. So really, like, the three big ones that stand out are, one is, you know, creating a easier platforms for people to just create music in the first place. So to go from hobbyists to professionals and making it easier, which, oh my gosh, like, now especially compared to when you initially submitted, now we have, like, you know, Suno and Udio, and the, you know, capabilities are increasing every day for what people can create. Also the blockchain as a tool for having more transparency around your rights and, you know, making it easier to collaborate. And gosh, I mean, you can't get a whole lot more opaque than a black box that you have, like, no idea, like, what's in the inside. Like, it's crazy. Every time I hear someone who, like, knows what they're talking about talk about this, I'm like, what? Like, that's insane. So, you know, having, you know, the ability to use a tool like blockchain to add more transparency and allow people to collaborate more. And The next, sorry, could you remind me the third one? Yeah, that you mentioned
gaming,
as well?
Like gamification and interactivity, I think was a big one. Mm. Thinking about that side of things.
Yeah. In gaming and interactivity. So, you know, both in terms of like, you know, actually having like, you know, what we traditionally think about like video games, but also just like having interactivity and the ability to gamify the overall fan and music experience. Really cool. So, yeah, I would love to hear what you're personally most excited about that you're building right now with Pixel Links as it relates to, you know, one of those three things.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff kind of happening in the ecosystem. We're developing the core protocol, which is an IP infrastructure for basically bringing intellectual property on the blockchain. So whether you're a songwriter or an artist, or whether you're a TV show and franchise like Black Mirror, the tools basically let you register your assets. Those could be songs or scripts. And first of all, claim ownership over them, which is really important, right? These are your assets, so register them. And then from there, we basically enable new use cases. So we can enable remixing, where an artist like Imogen Heap is letting people remix her music right now. And you can then even own a piece of that song and potentially commercialize it with royalties going back to the original artist. And it's her rights managed on the blockchain with a very seamless way for people to remix and co-create using some tools we've made. And, you know, that's one of the things that I'm really excited about. That's core protocol as the infrastructure, and then an application called Chorus that's built on top of it that lets people remix. That's, I guess, for me, very exciting, right? It's like, it's such a cool future for fans to be able to become creators and collaborators, and then also potentially, if you want to make it a career, like to actually have the ability to monetize your collaboration with that artist. Super cool. And that's all enabled by the protocol, so all on the blockchain. Some other things that I'm really excited about, we're working with the Black Mirror franchise, and you know, we'll be launching a whole ecosystem of things around Black Mirror and that IP, and doing a lot of music collaboration. So again, it's like, how many artists, musicians get to collaborate with Black Mirror? None in the grand scheme of things. Maybe a handful if you're lucky and your song got put into a show through Sync. But what if you could create your own episode and you had the rights to do something creative with that IP, like make a song around it or make an experience? Again, it's largely out of reach for the world to do that. And what we're doing through the blockchain is making it easy and seamless. Black Mirror can set their rules and say people can do this and this and this, and that means a developer or a creator can come and actually build on top of that IP and have this ability to collaborate with them in a really fun way. So, you know, it's a collaboration ecosystem at its core, and I think that's really you know, what I'm excited about is allowing people to collaborate and work together and to share value in a way that is not held back by all this fragmentation, you know, weeks of negotiations or legals and contracts, and you know, labels might hold things back. It's like, you can just do it. It's on the blockchain and it's ready for you to remix. So yeah, I would say that's something that I'm super excited about, is, you know, just the potential of what happens when we get more IP on the blockchain and more creators and developers building on top of it and kind of showing all these new ways to build things in a collaborative environment. Mm.
Wow, that is so cool. I feel like it's especially important as we're, you know, entering this age of more and more like immersive digital experiences. And I know Meta, you know, released their Project Orion glasses, and that was kind of a big breakthrough. And it seems like we're not very far away from having more immersive, you know, virtual reality kind of experiences. Mm-hmm. And that seems like that's when like this digital, you know, assets really become like even more. They feel more real, I guess, where it seems like in a lot of cases when we're thinking about like digital assets, they're sort of like abstracted, or it seems like it's not real because it's in digital space. But when we can actually interact and experience those things in real life, like it starts to get really clear. Man, Black Mirror collaboration, that sounds awesome. Out of curiosity.
One thing on that, the thing I think that's also really fun is like, you know, even a lot of the IP that's being registered right now is like songs, you know, just really great pieces of music from very reputable Grammy winning musicians, for example. And they're saying like, remix me, you know, to come and take these stems and make your own versions. And go release them, put them on Spotify or monetize them. But you just have to pay me as well. You know, give me a kickback, give me a royalty rate. And I think it's really fun. Like, you know, it kind of unlocks this new, but very simple step evolution, I think, from, you know, how an artist might think about their relationship with creators and fans to now being like, let's build things together. Like, come in and remix me. You don't need to be like a musician, but there's tools for you to kind of play with my music in fun new ways and extend its like its existence, you know, because I made it and it's like it's one version, but it could also be really beautiful as like a lo-fi minimal version that, you know, works for you. And I think there's something really fun in that, you know. As a musician or as someone who makes music, you know, we obsess over the details and it's like you want to get a song to be absolutely perfect. And I think what's really fun about this future is, and we're seeing it like TikTok and all these things, like, you know, fans are coming in without the artist's approval, speeding up and speeding down a song or doing whatever they want to it, right? They just do whatever they want. And it's great because it actually sometimes brings new life into a piece of music. And so for us, it's like this small evolution to say, that's great and you can do that, but there's also now a business model that can help ensure the artist gets paid and has some way to participate in that future. And so it's remix culture evolved is really the way I like to think about a lot of these things. It's like just a new way to think about remix culture. And one thing I haven't talked about, which I do think is important, when you register your IP, like your songs or your scripts, and you allow people to remix, that's great. That's one use case. Another really important use case is saying, I don't want this to be trained on AI, or I'm happy for it to be trained on AI, but I want to be monetized. And I want to have some attribution so I understand where my music has been used, or, you know, things like that. And I think those are really important problems, because as much as the Sunos and the Udios of this world are great to democratize music creation, they have built multi-billion dollar empires off the back of other people's IP without any agreements in place. And so for us, it's about building towards a future that gives artists, first of all, control to decide where and when their music and IP is being used, and give them the tools so that they can, you know, have transparency and actually be able to participate in that future rather than having to sit on the sidelines and just, you know, just accept it in many ways. So to me, there's two parts of this that are really important: protect and grow. And those are the two pieces of this tech, I think, that is it's what it's there to serve in principle. Mm.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly like a huge problem to solve with, you know, the AI models at large, is like, how do you attribute the training data source? We're very curious in terms of like how that works, or like, I know that there's a lot of things, even like the AI, you know, people who are developing it, it's just like hard for them to keep up. And there's a whole line of work, I forget what the name of it is, but they're like, literally, it's like interoperability. Where they're trying to figure out like, you know, how, and I'd imagine as it gets more and more intelligent, that it'll probably be getting even harder and harder to, you know, sort of understand, unless we use like AI to sort of like help like break it down and understand it. Mm-hmm. But cool, man.
I mean, on that piece, I think there's two points. One is, first of all AI companies have to be auditable. So your data set has to be clearly auditable, and that has to be proven. And so at least there's a licensing model. So like I can choose, my music is there. And then I think there's a bunch of other solutions in place. There's companies like Surreal AI doing some amazing stuff to track attribution. And also there's prompting, you know, you can kind of design the products in a way where, you know, you can say like, all right, I want to use DEADMAU5 as a prompt, and great. Like there's a business model to like try and attribute. So I think there's a few steps in this like journey that are required, but we're still in the early stages of it. It's the infancy, you know, it's more exploratory right now till we get to like an industry standard, but it's important that people are talking about it and working towards it, I think, as a whole.
Wow. Super interesting. Yeah. I just like got this like visual of a brain, or it's like a neural network, and there's like a neuron in there that's like DEADMAU5. And then it's like, when you like at mention DEADMAU5, it's like it lights up that area of the brain where it's like, oh, here's all the DEADMAU5 related things. And then when you create it, it's like, yeah, like you could directly attribute that with like a direct mention. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So, What do you say right now is maybe some of the biggest misconceptions of like in the music industry that you think maybe people aren't fully grasping or aware of yet, that in the future we're going to, it's going to be like common sense. We're like, oh my gosh, like how did we not recognize that?
That's a good question. Misconceptions in the music industry. I mean, you know, there's a few things that are very relevant to obviously the work I do. Like one is blockchain and Web3 has had a negative connotation to it, which is really strange because it's just technology, right? It's like, it's like saying like, I don't like databases. Like, what do you mean? Like, who says that, right? No one's like, I don't like, you know, SQL, like, because it's like, I don't know, whatever. It's a scam. Like, no one thinks like that, right? But blockchain has got a very negative, like, connotation because of the fact that there are scams in the blockchain culture, and there have been, it's unregulated, and there's a lot of challenges. And also at the same time, it's a technology that can change the nature of power structures in the industry. So understandably, there's mixed feelings and emotions around the tech. So I would say blockchain definitely has like a misconception on, you know, people think it's a scam and it's like, it's just a technology. It's like how it's applied is more important to like obsess over rather than trying to like think about it as this like overarching culture, which it does have elements of that. But I would say that's one piece. You know, blockchain is a scam, crypto is a scam. Like, you know, there's merits to those statements. I'm not going to act like there's not. Like, for sure, there's a lot of work to do in the sector. And I think that's probably largely driven by the fact that, and it's fans who think this, right? It's users, the people that we want to on board, who believe this, even though if you ask them, would you support a technology that helps your favorite artist get paid more fairly and transparently, they'd say yes. But then blockchain comes with its own kind of root and, you know, connotations, which is strange. And again, like I said, there's many reasons for that. You know, on the one hand, artists in the early stages a few years ago coming out, doing sales, making millions of dollars in some cases for like songs. And it's like, okay, well, there's nothing wrong with that in the grand scheme of things, but it's not accessible for everyone. And fine, like, I get it. But I would say that's one major misconception. Another misconception, I'm not sure if it's a misconception, but it's just something that I think is really important, is that, you know, streaming is not the be-all and end-all, right? Like, a lot of artists are kind of, you know, largely optimizing for like streams and plays, and, you know, that is like their distribution, which makes sense. And I think there is a just, again, it's known in some senses, but like, you know, the fact that you can actually make a really sustainable career from managing a really strong community of fans and super serving the thousands rather than trying to just reach the millions, I do think there's it's known, but I think there's, again, it's like, it's important when I speak to a lot of musicians, trying to understand that, like, you really need to have a solid idea about how you think about your community. You know, you don't need to chase the numbers all the time, because that fan base is ultimately so essential. What other misconceptions are there? There's probably dozens, I think. Your catalog, your intellectual property is everything. Again, it's maybe not a misconception, just a really important point of knowledge, that if you're a musician, you want to make sure you own your rights, you know, because that is the thing that 10 years, 20 years, 50 years from now could be the thing that helps you retire and gives you an exit the same way a startup has an exit. And so making sure that you have good legal advice and you understand your copyright and copyright laws and your intellectual property, again, I would say is a hugely important topic that is maybe under, you know, they're not undermined, but like, people don't think about it as much as they should do. And it really is such an important part of this future that we need to build for artists, is for them to understand that your intellectual property is everything. And and that is, you know, your fans and your IP are going to be the things that will allow you to sustain a career as a musician. And so, you know, the more tools and the more education there is for artists around these things, I think hugely important, you know, really game changing. There's dozens. I could probably go on for days, but those are the ones that get me passionate and excited. And the ones that, when I look at my founders and business partners, it's the foundations that they've set. You know, it's the future that they believe in that is the reason why I think like this, is because that's what they're trying to create for their artists and the music industry as a whole. So, you know, that's inspired me massively as like an important topic of education, I think, overall.
Mm. Oh man, super powerful. Yeah, I love, I'm so grateful that I have the opportunity to have conversations like this with people like you, to be able to share this, you know, with the wider community, because I think this is really important for people to understand. And so maybe we could zoom out a bit and kind of cast a vision for the Pixel Links platform, and kind of just like to understand the core journey that an artist goes through when they join the platform. Like, what are some of the big milestones and parts of that journey that they take when they enter your ecosystem?
Yeah, so the first step is that you will go to the core protocol and you will hit the registry, which is going live in a few weeks. Right now we're doing it more in a like alpha level. So like it's you know, selected artists that we're kind of working with, making sure that it will work. So you'll hit the registry, and that's where you'll register your intellectual property. You'll register your song, your visuals, your artworks, like everything that makes up your DNA as a musician and your body of work. So you register that into the IP library, and you will also then set your rules for usage. So you can determine whether your songs can be integrated into games, whether they can be remixed, whether they can be used in an AI model. And you can set your license terms for all of these. So that's for the first step, is register your IP so that you can protect it. And we can do a bunch of things once it's registered, fraud detection, all those kinds of things, seeing if people are using it in illegal ways. But that's the first step, register. Mm-hmm. Once it's registered, you then have options to distribute to new platforms. So you can distribute a song to Chorus, where you can enable people to remix your music, and you can share royalties with them. You can monetize. You know, we've seen artists who will make more money in 24 hours than they would in a year on Spotify using platforms like Chorus, where they only need to sell 500 to 1,000 units and they'll still make 100x over what they'd make in a year on Spotify. And it's amazing whether you're a Grammy winning musician or a emerging artist. So those are the two steps, you know, right now: register and then distribute. And distribute means putting it out, and not into DSPs, not into like Spotify, because you have your tools for that. It's into the new places that you weren't able to access, into games, into remix products, into these new formats of consumption that we're really excited about. So I would say that's like the high level of it all. And then, you know, as you start to see people engage, you can then track usage and track royalties and get paid basically start to optimize your career and manage your intellectual property through these new outcomes and use cases.
Mm, cool. So am I understanding it right that we're sort of like in this like alpha phase right now? So at the time of recording this, there's actually a unique opportunity to be one of the first people to get access to this platform.
Completely. And some of our tools are already live. So Chorus, which is KORUS, you'll be able to find that and you can try that product out. But the registry is publicly going live in a few weeks. But if it's not live, you can reach out. You know, you can find me on, I'm sure our socials will be, you can find my name. It's pretty easy to find me. Mm-hmm. We're more than happy to, give people early access. And I think offer that, of course, to the community here as well. I'd love to, explore how we can do that too.
Mm, awesome. Well, hey man, it's been great connecting here on the podcast and talking a little bit about your vision that you cast like almost a decade ago. And I bet it feels pretty amazing to start to see it come into life and some of the fruition of those ideas turning into this platform you're building. So thank you for taking the time to come on the podcast and share a little bit about what you're building. And best place for people to go if they're interested in connecting more, you said, is going to be to the website directly, which happy to include all the links in the show notes underneath here, as well as your social accounts. And any last piece of advice for anyone that's listening to this right now?
I think it really depends on where you are in your career journey. I'm very excited about, AI, I think, is this like potentially scary topic. I think a lot of musicians are very open to using it, not necessarily to like make music. Like you don't need to use AI to make music, but sampling, fine, could be cool. But I do think it's really important to study what's happening with the AI renaissance, because this is a creative renaissance that's taking place, and it will empower you as an artist to do things that you were never able to do. It will allow you to create at a really proficient like level with through video and through other things, but it will, through things like AI agents, which I'd suggest you research, and other tools, you can optimize your career in a way that a whole team would be doing. And you can do this with technology now. And so that would be my main bit of advice, is study what's happening with AI, study AI agents, experiment with the tools, and you know, also look into, you know, blockchain and intellectual property as another layer of this. And those two are, you know, AI and blockchain are renaissance technologies that can completely transform the creative like world we live in, and give you more control and also more, you know, creative expression and so much more. So yeah, that, I'm really excited. Like overall, like, I think there's so much to look forward to. And my main thing is just, you know, study the tools and experiment with them, and find a way for them to fit into your workflow, and whether that's optimizing your social media or helping you come up with ideas, or suddenly, you know, creating a music video. Like there's, the world's your oyster in every sense now. And so, you know, embrace the renaissance. That's what I would say, like, because it is really here.
I like it. Embrace the renaissance. I feel like that should go on a t-shirt somewhere. Ender, man, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you again for taking the time to be on the podcast today.
That's really great, Michael. I really appreciate your time, and everyone listening in. Thank you for giving us 35 minutes or so, however long it was, of your time. Hope it was useful.
Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable, and if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit, who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode. If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do, or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling, when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.